I'm a greeting from everybody that knows somebody there, because many of us have been there previously. But I also want to say thank you to everybody who prayed, participated, not only in the trip, but probably the greatest surprise when I came home and found a new office in my office. That was awesome. I was blown away. I was speechless. I just stood there in awe. There was about two or three people that got to witness this, Joel and Sharon and my wife. And, you know, I was a mess. I'm glad you didn't watch. But ultimately, I was really blessed. And all those who were betting on whether I would cry or not, you shouldn't bet, okay? So, There was so much going on, and we really were thankful to be a part of it. When Steve and Luciana invited me to be part of their wedding, and I said, sure, of course I would, and then the ability to say, but God had some great purposes in it beyond the wedding that I was blessed to be a part of. And some of the things were just being able to witness what some of our giving has done there. When we went the first time, there was a recuperation house for the men coming out of drug addiction that was established and going. But there was another one that was basically a shack with some guys who were so desperate, willing to stay in it without hardly anything. And those of you who were there remember the other recuperation house, which was positioned real close to the penitentiary. Now we have sewn into that, as others. Now it's a full operational recuperation house with all modern facilities, which is running water and you know, showers and rooms and everything, very, very nice, including landscaping that the men work on as part of their rehabilitation. And they were actually digging a swimming pool. So and gardening and all types of things. I got to witness the missions house, which, again, some of you saw the first time, but if you didn't, you could hardly picture what it would be compared to what it was, because there was a few walls and some concrete and not a whole lot of understanding. Now there's a fully operational missions house, which has two sides of bunkhouse that would be men's and women's shower rooms, a big patio with a pavilion over it, and a whole baptistry area, as well as changing rooms for the baptistry area. I got to be part of and witness 32 baptisms while I was there, which was powerful. And I got to also just feel a little bit of the struggle that it exists there. And I don't think that's overstating what I'm gonna get ready to tell you, because it's very, very difficult to reconcile some of the things that you experience when you go to another country and a church or a ministry or a body is welcoming you joyously, as those of you who have gone there have found before. They're pouring out their lives. There are people who rejoice and live in the place of desiring more of God. But by the same token, as I watched the construction of the missions house, and Pastor Luis was actually building a house right across the street from the missions house, I realized that nothing gets built there except first they have to build a wall. Because if they don't have a wall around whatever it is they're building, the crime is such that it'll get stolen, it'll get invaded. That the walls, most of which that you see going up, and the people that have the more money, the walls are actually have electric fence and barbed wire and stuff on the top of them. Okay? And you think, that's not like America, is it? You know, sometimes we take, you know, we know we have crime, but we take our freedom sometimes for granted. And when I see the walls and I think, well, that's how it is throughout the city. It's not, there's not as if there's a place that doesn't have walls around it. And the shops that have to be open, they just have bars and steel doors so that when they can close their shops, they can just, you know, put up an impenetrable barrier, which happens pretty early at night. Because by 10, 11 o'clock at night, it starts to get crazy. Pastor Luis tells me, he said, this street here we're on, yeah, just full of drug addicts, full of all kinds of prostitution, full of all kinds of lascivious activity. When we don't come here at dark. A couple guys have a ministry that goes there, and they have done some effectively, but it's not like downtown Springfield with a few drunks wandering around at nighttime. A whole different situation. When we first visited Atombiara a year and a half ago, one of the first men that met us was at the recuperation house in Guyana. Guyana is the city that we fly into. And one of the young men who met us was Pastor Adriana's brother, Adilio. He was murdered when I left this last week, okay? I had been with him, saw him several times. He was always helping. He was always involved. And as last time when I left, one of the men who hosted us was shot and eventually killed again. When we left there, one of the men that we knew who was actually in pursuit of assisting someone who had left the drug house. He was not in his right mind. He was threatened to kill himself and ultimately, through an altercation, stabbed this young man in the heart and he died. I'm not trying to be a downer. I know it's Father's Day and I know we're in church and I want to celebrate, but I just think it would be a totally a wrong perspective to think that when we're giving and serving and attempting to be a light in the darkness, that sometimes we don't, you know, I didn't just come back from a vacation. I'm not saying that. I was made aware of the incredible need and God having partnered with us, allowing us to partner with him in that place. And the warfare is real. I mean, I could tell you, I got in tremendous opportunities. This time, first time we were there, we did a lot of governmental ministry. We went from one city building, and you guys that went, remember, it's like, man, the mayors would come out and meet us, and they have a big party for us, and then they kneel down and say, pray for us, and that was amazing, and we couldn't believe it, and we were all able to just minister at different times and speak. This time it was different in that I was invited to walk with Pastor Elise day to day through all of the members' businesses that are part of Jerry to church. You walk into the business, you say hi to everybody, and you pray for them, and you share their struggles. You go to each person's business, and yes, I visited Luis Verderau's business, the market that the fellow that got murdered last year, his son is now running, and it was a blessing, and it was kind of somber, you know, to say, yeah, his picture's on the wall, and the last time I saw that guy, he said, and when you come back, you can come stay at my farm. Which has got a beautiful place that some of us went to. I went to the farm this time. I met his wife again. She shared with me how it was 15 months to the day of his death that I was there on the farm, and she didn't feel like it was a coincidence. And she thanked me for coming and said to me the very last words that he had said to me, when you come back, you can stay here whenever you want. It was a blessing, but by the same token, I'm saying, wow, I'm kind of thinking the reason why she's saying it is because of what happened to him, that he can't say it to me. And when I got back and I found out that Adilio had been killed, I thought, God, there is real, real, true warfare for this nation. This nation that you have allowed us to partner with has a destiny in the earth, and you have given us some measure of responsibility to help them facilitate that partnership. It got real big all of a sudden. While I was there, I had a dream. I had an encounter with demons. I don't know what else to call it. That doesn't happen to me all that often, in case you're wondering. Matter of fact, I don't know that in this context it's ever happened. You know, I wasn't sleeping all that well, and I was blaming it on the barking dogs and, you know, on the street noise and, you know, everything, you know, jet lag or whatever. And I realized that this night as I'm tossing and turning, and this woman in the dream who had a very distinct characterization of her features and her activities, were reaching and grabbing at me and were attempting to, if you will, intimidate me and to destroy, if you will, the ministry that God had, and I think I represented you in the dream, not, you know, us together. And I realized this real warfare going on. The devil does not like this, that we have determined to partner with Pastor Luis in this city. And even while I was there, so you understand, I'm not just saying something spooky. Two of his leading ministers, one of the associate pastors and another leadership couple, just totally and completely lied to him in his face, told him everything was fine, and literally split the church and started another church. And all on a bad foundation, okay? So it's not like it's just at one front. you know, in church, in society, in social structures, as well as the relationships, but yet they're going forward. They're saying God has a mission for us, and we're thankful for the House of Prayer in Springfield who is partnering with us and supporting us in doing this. So I want to thank you all for your prayers. I hope if you have it on your heart someday to go, that you'll be enabled to go, because it's a beautiful and wonderful experience, but it also, there's things to be seen and experienced that aren't necessarily, the day-to-day struggles that they deal with aren't necessarily of a small magnitude. Let me see. I do want to say everybody, if you've gone there before, you were asked about. Okay, how about this person? How's that person? And how's this person? And fortunately, Annie had been there before me a little bit, and she had kind of filled in some things as well. But ultimately, this thing is going to get bigger. There are people there that are saying, even as Luciana has been our first member from Brazil, there are people there that have come to me very clearly and said, we believe God is calling us to come there and be part of the ministry that you're doing, that we would be a bridge, that we would be a welcoming spot and a bridge for equipping, helping, and training God's Brazilian saints here, as well as equipping those here going there. So very exciting to have God confirm that without any without any pursuit on my part. Now I'm full, and I mean that, but I'm not so full that I can't wait. Okay, I asked the Lord this morning what I was supposed to do, and there was so much. I have multiple messages and revelations I feel God has spoken in my heart, but I'm not going to share them this morning. What I'm going to do is I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit in my daughter, because as I was asking the Lord what I was going to do today, she just said to me, "Hey, Dad, what are you preaching on today?" And I said, "I'm not really sure, because there's so much that God has put on my heart." And she said, "Are you going to do the Father Heart of God?" And I go, "Well, I could, but that's not really what, I don't feel that." She goes, "I love that message." And something inside of me said, "Let her speak on the Father Heart of God today." And so she's a prophetic voice, and she's my daughter. And this is her Father's Day present to me today. I'm taking her gift back. No, you're not. And so she may have 5 minutes. She may have 20 minutes. I don't know. But this is my treasure.
Cry. Get your
best
out.
There you go.
So I don't really have a message, but I was thinking about most of you guys know Joel Duckett, right? And he's going to school to be a doctor of psychology, and he's right now in a lot of classes about parenting and all of this stuff. And we were talking about father wounds, and he was calling them daddy wounds, and all the people. He can't tell me their names or anything about his patients, but he can tell me that most of the guys that he has currently right now are dads that are by the DCFS made to talk to him so that he can get those kids back. And just so happens that the patients trying to get his kids back, almost all of them have daddy wounds where my dad didn't love me, so now I freak out on my kids. And I was thinking about that this morning in the conversations. I don't have a message, by the way. I'm just going to share with you what I feel like the Father Heart of God is. So if that's okay with you, then stay. If not, go get some lunch. Okay, so what I was thinking today, I was washing some dishes, and I was thinking about the conversation I had with Joel. And I was like, isn't that awesome that though we could be, I'm going to use my dad example, he was abused as a kid. My dad has never abused me. Do you know what I mean? He was beaten very bad. My dad has never beaten me very bad. There is a place where we can say, okay, that happened to you, but Father God is not like that. And I got really excited this morning when I was washing the dishes, thinking that he is fully capable of being nurturing and strong. You don't have to say, oh, my dad is just this way. My dad is not. My dad in heaven is fully capable of being nurturing as much as he is as being a leader, as much as he is as being kind, just as much as he is as being strong. He is the all in all, the beginning and the end. And I was so excited thinking today that that in my example, I have a dad. We're very, very open with each other about our weaknesses. We dialogue frequently. He's like, I can't do this. I don't know how to love you. I'm like, well, did you ever try doing this? But God, Father God, knows the right way to love Rachel. And he, if we call upon his name, is able to equip a father to have his nature. My dad never grew up with any girls. He doesn't know how to communicate to a girl like I need to be communicated. I say, Dad, go to God. My dad comes back to me, hey, I love you. Or, I know you like it when I make salad, so I made you a salad. My dad in his capacity would never understand how much it means for him to make a salad to me. It's not wired that way. But Father in Heaven is wired that way. He was able to communicate to my dad enough to be able to communicate to me that I feel love. And so just thinking in heaven about, you know, they say things about dad, like my dad is stoic or my dad's not a communicator. And it's like, maybe your dad isn't. Let's put that to the side, but let's tap into the Father heart of God who loves to communicate to you, who loves to tell you. My mom, her dad never told her that he loved her. Every day, go to the Father and say, tell me how much you love me. Tell me how much you love me. Tell me how much you love me. My dad never told me I'm beautiful. Go to the Father heart of God and ask him, tell me, do you think that I'm beautiful? We never wear him out. And this morning, all this happened when I was washing dishes, and I was thinking, we don't wear you out. Like, I wear myself out a bunch. Like, even when I talk to Curtis, I'm like, are you okay? He's like, I'm fine. I'm like, whoa, wow, you're okay? Because I'm wearing myself out. So just to think about that we can go to the Father, all the things that are natural for others. And I wanted to talk to the youth too. There's so many times in our head when we think about, oh, I wish my dad was this way, or oh, I wish my dad did anything. Go to the Father and get what you need, because your earthly father is not equipped unless he goes to his heavenly Father and gets what he needs. You are never going to fully be completely alive and full of joy and peace and hope if you don't get your face in the heavenly Father, because we're dealing with humans. We always have lack. We always have need, but there is no lack or need in heaven. And it is so exciting, because I was thinking about that this morning, that I was like, my dad's not rich. You know what I mean? My dad doesn't have all the things I needed to have. But if I can learn how to ask God who loves me, he says at his right hand there's pleasures forevermore. And I was thinking about all of those pleasures and all these good things that he has for us, that his desire is that we have his nature, his joy, his love, his peace. As being children and co-heirs with God, as being children of God, we can start to look like that fullness. He is the giver of joy. Let's start looking like that joy. You know what I mean? When we call upon his name for those things, even in the natural, we look like our fathers or we look like our mothers. I was washing dishes and thinking, oh, I want to look like your love, God. I was like, I want to look like your joy. I want to look like your peace. I want to look like your hope. And that to me is a father heart of God, that he could communicate to us in a way that we start looking like him, that we start feeling like him, that we start talking like him. And I got really excited. That's why I was like, Dad, are you going to talk about the father heart of God? And the fact that he wants to communicate to you. And I just felt in my heart that how many times we say, we kind of put men in a box, I feel like. We're like, oh, they're not communicators. Or, oh, he does this. Or, oh, he just does that. That's fine. Pray for them. We'll put them to the side. But let's get the things that God, Father in Heaven, have for us. Let's get them. Let's be passionate about communicating our needs. It says that that he's perfected in our weakness. And if I don't feel loved, I want to get to the Father and say, love me. Tell me how much you love me. Tell me how awesome you think I am, because I don't feel very awesome right now. And maybe my earthly father doesn't know how to do that. But I think that there's an awareness coming or needs to happen in our heart that we truly can go to the giver of good gifts for all of our needs. And if we don't know how to necessarily what we need, that we could even call upon him in that way and say, God, will you tell me what I need? Will you tell me how to get what I need? Will you tell me how to communicate what I get what I need? You know what I mean? And I just think, I was just so excited this morning, and that's why I asked my dad, are you going to talk about that? And well, I'm trying to. But and also the fact that, and I was thinking in John 17 where Jesus is hanging out and he says to the Father, he says, Father, I desire that they would be with us, that they would be one as we are one. And I was thinking, okay, the Father God gave his only son. Okay, he's selfless. He gave his only son to earth to a bunch of people that like hated him. So that's kind of really awesome that he is selfish in that way. So I was picturing the Father God. I'm like, okay, you're so selfless. You gave your only son then to die. Have you ever had a kid die? That's very painful. I watch my parents go through it. It's like, it's crazy. So I was thinking, not only did you give your only son for him to die, but you gave your only son for him to die for me. Wow, what a good father. So I stopped there and I sat there. I'm like, oh my God, you are so good. Nobody does that. There is no earthly father that would ever do that. My dad wouldn't do that. And I was like, oh God, you're so good. And I'm sitting there still washing dishes. And I'm like, God, you're so good. I want to know about this love. And I was thinking that the triune God, Jesus, is sitting there and everything in the world that he could ask for, he says, I want to know that they know how cool you are. That's how I took that in my head. I want these people that I'm meeting, all these people that's getting healed, I want them to come be with us because I know how awesome you are and I feel like they're missing out. Out of everything in the world that he could have asked for, he could have said, hey God, can you take me back? Like, can you help me a little bit? Mary's getting on my nerves. Like, whatever it is, he says, Father, I desire that they would know you, that they would be with you where we are because this is really cool. Father God, you're really awesome, and I want them to know about this awesomeness. Of course, that's the Rachel translated version, but I feel that we don't know yet. It's like a tip of the iceberg about how awesome the Father is. The fact that Jesus himself says, this is what I want. I want them to know you. I want them to be with me where we are, that they would be one, and that they would know about your Father's heart. So all of that is kind of what I was feeling this morning. And it just really got me stirred because I feel like we have no idea about how good he is, that he's happy. He's not mad at you. He's not measuring you up to, did you get your chores done? That's not the God we serve. That is not the Father. And I feel like so many times we walk around with these burdens or these wounds or these shames of somebody has told us what God is like, and that's not real. That's a man-made image that we put him in, and God is happy. He's full of joy. He's full of love. He's not your dad. He's not going to abuse you. He can communicate very well how much he loves you. He has every good and perfect gift, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. There's no lack. There's just love. So that's all I was feeling this morning.
thank you, honey. I'm glad I didn't read your text back. See, I told her earlier, I texted her, be ready. I just now read my phone. It said no. A little late. You know, there's no way I'm going to even try to preach after that, in case you're wondering, okay? Holy Spirit can give us a revelation of the Father's heart. And Rachel did a better job than what I could have, so I'm thankful for that. And I want to encourage you today, some point in time, to go to your Father, just like Rachel said. Let's stand this morning. We're gonna pray. And Jesus, we love you, and we thank you that your leadership is perfect. We thank you that you gave us the Holy Spirit as our teacher, our comforter, and our guide. I ask today that you would grant to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may know you more, that we may know the Father's heart, that we would learn how to come to you for all of our needs, that we would grow in the understanding of your nature as a loving Father, as a joyous, happy Papa. Lord, I ask today that you would bless us with all this and more as we celebrate fatherhood today. God, we say, be honored, be glorified as the perfect Father in all that we say and do. God, bless us now as we go, and thank you for filling our day, filling our lives from the abundance of your table, from the richness of your house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're beautiful. I will say, stir yourself to believe, because God is getting ready to do something wonderful in your midst. And like Rachel said, you don't want to miss it. Have a great day. Amen.